So you can see the kangaroo here. This hat is from Australia. I got it on my last mission to Melbourne in Australia, and they gave me this. You know what this is for? Okay. Keeps the bugs away. Thank you very much. So this mime, the title of this mime is The Gift. The Gift, okay? And like you saw, Pope John Paul II says we should have a new evangelization, new in its methods, new in its expression, and new in its zeal. And I'm sure as we did this mime, maybe you could see yourself. God the Father is pouring out his gifts upon us. And like Father Patsy was saying yesterday, various people respond differently. You saw our sister? Too busy. So she had no time. She even rejected the gift. And our brother. Him, yeah. He took it with joy. What is he doing? Sleeping! Sleeping on the gift. He's got it, but he's sleeping. Look at our dear friend. What happened to you? You were too busy with your iPod and iPhone and iPad, you know? It's all about me, I. That's why we got iPhones and iPads. So nobody should confuse me, nobody should disturb me, because it's I. Rejects the gift. Misses out. And our dear friend, busy texting. These days, you can have two girls sitting on a bus, side by side, texting each other. And she gets the gift. She has no use for it. She even destroys it. Oh, and that breaks the heart of God. And then my dear friend Andrew. I'll never forget Andrew. He taught me about being awesome. Says the program was awesome. And like he is an awesome kid, what did he do? He received the gift with joy, and he doesn't keep it. He shares it. All of you had a share in it. Beautiful. For the Patsy, oh, he's got it. Yeah. Keep it. Okay, let's bring our hands together for our young folks. Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you so much. Praise God. Wherever you leave them, praise God. Yes, so is it going well so far? Are you awake? I see you're awake. You just had breakfast, eh? And you've been blessed by this mime, the gift. Weren't they great? We just had one rehearsal. You know? One rehearsal. Practice time, and they've done it so well. Because you know what? They were excited for this. Praise God. Praise God. So you know, to end, you know, this whole reflection on what the anointing is about and all that, I just want to title this talk, Anointed to Spread the Pure Odor of Christ. Okay, you remember we were speaking about that symbol of the Holy Spirit as oil and ointment. Do you remember that? We spoke about the Holy Spirit as water, as wine, as a fire, as wind. Now the Holy Spirit, under the anointing, you speak of the Holy Spirit as oil or ointment, okay? And the scent that oozes out of this ointment. So the whole idea of we got to be anointed to spread the pure odor of Christ. Okay, again, like I was sharing with you, you know, a lot of my material is coming from Raniero Cantalamessa's book. I think you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong, okay? And in these last probably 4 weeks or so, I don't know why, I've been so moved and attracted by a commercial on TV. I don't know if you have it in West Virginia, but it's about Great America, Six Flags. Do you have that? Do you have Great America here? Oh, so you wouldn't understand what I'm saying. But that this but you've heard about Great America, right? There's this commercial about it's a bald-headed guy, and sometimes you see, I mean, the particular one that I like the most is, it's like this young boy and young girl, right? They're sitting in a room alone, watching TV or DVD or something. And as they're sitting there side by side, obviously they are not married, right? But this young boy is trying to touch the thighs of the young girl. Ooh, you go, shh. And you know what happens? It's like as he's moving his hand, the young girl hits his hand. Like, don't touch me, you know. And then this guy's face comes up. He's called Mr. Six because it's six flags. And he goes, one flag, because you have one flag flickering on the thing. And one flag, one flag. And then the Great America, you know, the roller coaster thing comes up. Then he says, six flags. More flags, more fun. Man, I just like it. Six flags, more fun. He says, you think you're having fun sitting with that girl and trying to touch? Yes, that's one flag. Come to Great America where you can have what? More flags, more fun, six flags. And as I look at this commercial, you know what I'm thinking of? I think when you come to Jesus, right? The excitement with which this guy is inviting people to Six Flags, that's the same excitement we got to get to invite people into the kingdom. You see, because Jesus says the thief, John chapter 10 verse 10, John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its abundance. Fullness of life. That's what we got to go and spread about. Because you see, this young boy sitting there trying to seduce and touch this, it's one flag. You might think there's fun in that. It's only one flag. But it says, come to Great America, where it's six flags, more fun. And you got to show it like Jocelyn does it, like Sarah does it. That's the first message. You know what? And because this guy's been doing, you know what? I had to take my family to Great America for our sixth wedding anniversary, which was just the 7th of August, you know, last weekend. So I took the whole family to Six Flags. And you should have seen me, my little five-year-old, Daddy, let's go, it's fun. Because she went on the thing, roller coaster thing with my wife. Whilst I was looking after Noel, the 1-year-old. And when they came back, Daddy, you got to go. Daddy. And I said, look, I'm scared. There are certain risks I used to take when I was young. Now I have a wife, one wife, and 3 daughters. So don't push me. My wife said, oh, come on, Mark, you got to go. So she took over, looked after Noel, and I went with Michelle. And as we sat down and they were fixing us, man, I had my eyes closed. But these young people are so daring. She's only 5 years old. Daddy, it's fun. Daddy, it's fun. She's got no worries. Hakuna Matata. That's in Swahili. You know Hakuna Matata? No worries. So and we came back. I said, thank God I'm alive. But six flags, more fun. That's what led me there. That's what we got to go and what? Spread. That's what the anointing does to us. It gives us a certain confidence, a certain boldness, which is not in ourselves, but in the one in whom we have trusted. I told you the anointing is given in order that we can do a job. In order that we can perform a task in the name of God Almighty. This is what the anointing is about, a presence. About a presence. And I come to think about Blessed Mother Teresa. I mean, I never met her. But if I start to read her writings, have you read Be My Light? You know? Any of you read Be My Light?
Yeah.
It's about, you know, how for 50 years of her life, it's like she never felt the presence of God. Can you believe this? It's like she went through this dry period, and the letters that she corresponded in with her spiritual director and all that, she told the spiritual director, destroy these letters, but he didn't. He kept them, and kind of like they reflect on her life. But you know what? She hanged in there. People who have met her tell me that when you are in her presence, you sense the anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's like, how tall was she? Like four what? 4 feet something, you know. Shriveled, wrinkles. And you might think, she's not beautiful. She's not gone for, what do you call it, facelift, Botox. How do you call those things? Thank you. These days, they say even teenagers are going for these things. You are a teenager, beautiful face. Then you want something cosmetic. Mother Teresa had nothing of that. Nothing for people to be attracted to her. But you know what? As you walked into her presence, you sensed the anointing. Because she was connected. Now here, when she spoke to you, she gave you all her attention. If there were 1,000 people in the room, she concentrated on you and gave you all her attention. Isn't this beautiful? That is the anointing. Pope John Paul II, I had the privilege of having mass with him in his private chapel on about 2 occasions when I was on the International Council. I tell you, the first time I was going to have mass with the Holy Father, I was supposed to play the music, just do about 3 songs. You know, it's his morning private mass, so I was so nervous. I couldn't sleep straight. I mean, the night before, I was tuning the guitar, waking up and say, oh God, oh God. But friends, when we entered the chapel, his private chapel, this man of God was already on his knees. We got there about 6:15 in the morning. It was very early. And they led us through, you know, the papal apartments and got us there. And he was already on his knees. Mass wouldn't begin until about 7. But he was already on his knees. When you enter the room, you sense the presence, the anointing. That is how it's got to be with us. Spreading what? You are anointed to spread the pure odor of Christ. And everybody knew this. The young people flocked to him. World Youth Day 2002, I came with 7 young people from Ghana to Toronto, Canada. Man, he was old. Listen to the press. He's too old. He's got to retire. You think the Holy Father and that position is like IBM computers that you do away with when they no longer work? No! And as he landed in Toronto, in Canada, you know what? They wanted to bring him down from the plane on a lift, some kind of a. Because they say, Holy Father, you can't walk. He said, no, I'm going to walk. He descended the steps, one after another. And we were screaming, Papa, John Paul II, we love you. John Paul II, we love you. You should have seen the young people. Free passes on all the transits of Toronto, Canada. We flocked the city. 1 million. Just to be with Papa. And in his presence, we listened. We didn't sleep. Like this guy here. We listened and we cheered as he challenged us to holiness. That's not to be good. Because goodness won't take you to heaven. Just being good won't take you to heaven. You remember that rich young man in Matthew chapter 19? He came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, keep the commandments. You know them. What did the young man say? Jesus said, what are the commandments? Oh, you shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall honor your father and mother. And what did he say? Since my earliest days, I've kept all these. And Jesus says, yes, for sure. But if you wish to be perfect, if you wish to be perfect, not just keep the commandment. He was a good kid. Go sell everything you have. Come follow me. You see? That's discipleship. And that's what John Paul II challenged young people. Do not be afraid to follow Jesus. He might have demands on you, but it's okay because it's for your good. He wants to get you to heaven. Man, and we cheered him on. And if you were in his presence, you sensed the anointing. It just oozed out. It's like the alabaster jar had been broken. That's John Paul II. Now, most of you who know his story, you can testify to that. This is a guy who lost his mother at the age of about 6. He was 6 years old when his mother died. So his father took care of him. He had only older brother who became a doctor. He was far older than he was. And then he got infected by a disease. He was treating a patient. He got infected. He died. His older brother died. And by the age of 20, his father had also died. Can you believe this? That's what my Michelle Marie always, Daddy, can you believe it? She's 5 years old, you know, so I'm sorry I'm picking up. He had lost everybody. It's like his, you remember, all had been stripped away by the time he was 20 years old. Second World War breaks through. He finds a job in a quarry. Do you say quarry? Thank you. Cracking stones. Got involved in some theater and stuff. And then he said, I used to go to the fields and cry out my eyes out. I need a mother. And then he felt our Blessed Mother was ministering to him and saying, I'm yours, baby. That's why he had his coat of arms, totus tuus. All yours. Is that what it means, Father Patsy? Totus tuus. I'm all yours. Suffering. But I broke the alabaster jar and he oozed the presence of God, the fragrance everywhere he went. He becomes a priest. He's made bishop, archbishop, cardinal. And what happens? 78. He's papa. That's what it means to spread the odor. And I like the way Cantala Mesa puts, you know, some of these into words. I can only read what he says. And particularly, you know, he's speaking about how much this anointing is needed for our church leaders, like for our pastors and for our bishops. Do you realize how we need these? So much so in the church. And listen to how he puts it, right? He says, on every side, we see signs of how vitally necessary it is, especially for the leaders of the church, to live and work under this spiritual anointing in its twofold aspect of gentleness and strength. And he goes and he says, it would be a mistake for ordained ministers to count only on the sacramental anointing received once only when they were ordained and not to be repeated, and which enables them to be appointed to lead, to preach, and to teach. He says, I like this. Ordination provides, so to say, the authorization to do certain things, but not necessarily the authority to do them. Check it out. It assures the apostolic succession, but not necessarily any apostolic success. It's so beautiful, you know, how this unfolds. And he speaks a lot about it. And he continues, he says, now, the anointing of the Spirit is of itself not something confined to particular occasions or limited to certain categories of people in the church. An ointment continuously spreads its perfume simply because it is there. Amen? So this is the first way of, if you like, how to spread the pure odor of the what? Of Christ. By being there. Turn to somebody and saying, be there. Yeah, be there. Now, the first thing is, you don't even have to say anything. I told you about Mother Teresa. I told you about John Paul II. Just being in their presence, you sense the anointing. That's how you spread it. I forgot to bring my perfume. But that's it. Perfume is simply there, and then you smell it. It's like light. Light doesn't speak. Does light speak? It's just there. And what does it do? It just, come on, say it. Shines. Thank you. It just shines by being there. That's what it is. And so this is the first way of doing what? Of spreading this odor. Because an anointing, and it says, and the anointing has been conferred on every believer precisely in order to make him or her the aroma of Christ. Aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, you are the aroma of Christ. Turn to somebody right now. Look into the eyes and say, you are the aroma of Christ. So this is the first thing. Brothers and sisters, how do we spread it? Be there. Just being there. It's called silent witness. Silent witness. Silent. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 15. You are the aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 15. You are the aroma of Christ. Just spread it. It's called silent witness. Do you understand that? You haven't even spoken, but your presence is an anointing. I remember a young person coming to me in Uganda and saying, Brother Mark, I like to be like you. I say, oh, thank you very much. You like to be like me? Oh, I appreciate that. Including all my problems. I just tried to scare him off, you know. You want to be like me? But there was something that had attracted him to me. And then when he comes, I point him to who? Jesus. That's what it is about. There's something about Father Patsy that I've admired ever since I saw him in Chicago. At a national conference, you know. And I'm saying, what is it about this priest? You know, but he's got a gentle way of, you know, speaking and bringing the wisdom of the gospel. Isn't that true? You want to testify to that? Yeah. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. But you see, how do we receive this? He says, when at the Mass on Holy Thursday, the bishop blesses the oil that will be used in the anointings at baptism and confirmation. Listen to what the bishop says. May this anointing, this is the prayer of the bishop on all the oils on Holy Thursday. In the liturgy of our church, may this anointing penetrate and sanctify them so that freed from natural corruption and consecrated as temples of your glory, they may spread abroad the good odor of a holy life. Friends, this is deep stuff. This is deep stuff. And I believe if the bishop prays over the oils like this and is distributed to all parishes, and the priests administer these at baptisms, and the bishop does that at confirmation, it penetrates. It penetrates. It penetrates every part of our being. And it sanctifies us so that we are freed from corruption and consecrated as temples of God's glory, so that we may spread abroad the good odor of a holy life. Where am I from? Do you know the village I come from? The village I come from is not even on the map of Ghana. It's a tiny, tiny little village. But look at where God has brought me. All the way across the oceans to West Virginia. It doesn't have to be many times, just for once. Tell somebody where you were this weekend. Tell somebody where you were. We talk about everything except the faith. Talk about the bad weather, In England, it's so beautiful when you're walking and people will never talk to you when the weather is bad. But when the sun is shining, lovely weather, isn't it? Lovely weather. When even they don't know you, lovely weather, isn't it? Lovely, isn't it? Lovely. We talk about weather, we talk about problems, we talk about whatever, except the faith. Now you got to learn how to do this. Again, take Sarah and Jocelyn, you know, it's like, just a smile. And if somebody comes to you and starts to share, pour her heart out, you know, I don't know what's going on with my husband, you know, and my kids are giving me problems. You listen. And when they are done, you don't say, wait, you got two problems? I got three. Then you start to tell them all the other. No! You basically start to say, yeah, I know what you're going through because I've been there. But I know somebody that I relied on. Somebody that when all was stripped away, I connected to. He gave me hope. And this person is going, who? It's Jesus. And you simply say, can I pray with you? I do that a lot on the plane. You see, on the plane, it's so beautiful because the person is in a seat belt. He's trapped. He can't run away. So anytime I'm getting on a plane, I'm saying, Jesus, Jesus, just bless that person who's going to sit next to me. So that's how you do it. That's how you do it. And you got to learn how to do it. You got to practice so that you are like Usain Bolt. You are in form. You are in shape. I just love Jim. Where's Jim? Is he Jim? Jim? Are you Jim? Yeah. Yesterday, I just sat at a table with him. And, you know, we just struck a conversation. And he just started to share his heart out, you know, how he came to a deeper experience of Jesus through tech and all that and what's going on and, you know, how he's loving his wife, you know, through all the trials and everything. And I'm just listening and I'm saying, God bless him. And he's asking me, how did you come to do all these? I said, Jim, I started just like you started here, right with me here in the dining hall, learning to talk one-on-one with someone. And then the Lord increases it to 3 people, 10 people, 80 people, 1,000. Then he begins to spread the odor. Hallelujah. So do not be afraid. In this country, people, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. At family gatherings, they say, no, they will say I'm too religious because you want to be politically correct. You simply share. Simply share. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Turn to somebody and say, keep it simple. And I'd like you to go and further read John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Praise God. John chapter 9. It's that scripture about that man born blind. Okay? Remember the blind man sat by the road and he cried. Right? John chapter 9. This is a man born blind. I think there's an anointing on this scripture because Father raised it yesterday. I keep repeating it, right? This man is born blind. The disciples of Jesus ask him, whose sin was it? How did he become blind? Was it his own sin or the sin of his parents? What did Jesus say? None of this. None of this. But that the glory of God shall be revealed. And he calls the young man. What? He picks some mud from the floor, spits on it. What a ministry. It's like you come to me for prayer, for healing, for your blindness. I pick some mud, I spit into it. Sometimes we don't understand why Jesus did. Smears it on his eyes. Says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The guy goes, he's healed. And the Pharisees are mad. Who healed you? Who healed? He says, it's this man they call Jesus. He's a sinner. He says, I don't care whether he's a sinner or not. All I know is that I was blind. He touched me. Now I can see. 3 things. That's what it's about. No big theology. You don't have to go to get a degree in theology before you can witness to this. You don't have to get a doctorate or a master's in theology. Simply say, I was blind. Jesus touched me. Now I can see. Isn't it simple? Isn't it easy? My life was messed up. I was broken. I went for a weekend conference and I came back a different person. How did it happen? I encountered a man called Jesus and the people that love him. I hanged out with him. Isn't it beautiful that when you just start hanging out with people, you know how the young people like this? Mom, I'm going to the mall. To do what? To hang out. Just hang out. Hang out with some friends. Hang out with people who love Jesus. And you begin to see, as you leave this place, you start to ooze out the odor. The odor. Because you have been with the Lord through his body. Hallelujah. And so he sends us out anointed to spread the odor, pure odor of Christ. He sends us out as witnesses of hope. So the first thing is silent witness. The next thing is you give a reason for this hope of yours. Does that make sense? Okay, I see some of you yawning. You must be tired. Okay, so I'll just try to round it up. We got to be witnesses of hope. Amen? Witnesses of hope. Because there's a lot of despair in what? In our world today. Don't you sense it? Don't you sense it? You know, it's a lot of despair. All the cynicism, the negativity, the relativism, the secularism, the materialism, the despair, the anger, the factions, the divisions, frustrations everywhere. And people like to pour it out. The other day I was in a grocery store. My wife had, she wanted to present, to prepare lasagna. So she was telling me to get Parmesan cheese. What's the other one? Mozzarella. Yeah. See, so I don't know these things. So I'm on my cell phone talking to you. I said, what do you mean by mozzarella? She says, look at the spelling. So I'm checking. I'm on the cheese side. I'm checking. And this woman just walks up to me. And says, can you believe what just happened to me? I don't know her from Adam. I'm on the phone with my wife. So I had to say, honey, excuse me. Wait, just, can you just believe what happened to me? This woman just walked up to me. She wanted a ride. And I said, I want to give you a ticket, a transit ticket to take the bus. She wouldn't take it. And I drove here, and now she comes to me and she says, why didn't you give me a ride here? Man, I just wanted somebody to spill this anger onto. So I became the victim. Can you believe this? She wanted somebody just to spill it onto. And then when she finished, she apologized. She says, I'm so sorry that I had to come to you and I had to let it out. So I smiled and I said, peace be with you. People are frustrated. It's in the midst of this kind of world that the Lord is sending us. So we'll be witnesses of hope. At least somebody who will stand and absorb some of this frustration from a woman like this in a shopping mall, in a grocery store. And then I spoke peace to her. She said, thank you. That's it. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to discern what is happening in this world. Why this world needs witnesses of hope. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And I'll be ending with this scripture. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And just begin to see what's really going on here. Then you see how important it is that we go into the world and be witnesses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Are you there yet? It says, but understand this, there will be terrifying times in the last days. People will be self-centered and lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Hello? Hello? Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, implacable, slanderous, licentious. Licentious comes from the word license. Eh? When do you get a license? 16, thank you. It gives you permission to drive, thank you. People think they have the permission to do whatever they like, whenever they like it, however they like it, isn't it? You can't tell me what to do. The other day I was in a shopping mall with my wife and this young, like 14-year-old, she was walking with her mother and we could hear her. My wife said, listen. She was telling her mother, you don't get it, do you? You don't get it, do you? I know you never get it. You never get it.
She's like the parent and the mother is like the child. Yeah. You can't get this in Africa. We are reversing the roles, you see, and we take the same thing to the faith. God created us in his own image and likeness, but we want to create God in our own image and likeness. He's the potter, we are the clay. You know what? We turn him into the potter, into the clay, and we become the potter. So we mold him into our image. Licentiousness, brutal, hating what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, as they make a pretense of religion but deny its power. Rejects them, St. Paul says. You see, we don't want just an outward appearance of a religion, that we go through the motions. We got the right liturgy and the right stuff. No. Within this, we want to demonstrate the power of God that lies within these sacraments and everything. That's what it is. We're sent out as witnesses of hope into a world like this. So you are a witness of hope. And let's be witnesses, especially to our young people. I just want to applaud you, young people. Would you all stand, young people? Let's applaud the young people. Young people, thank you. Thank you for being here. Praise God. I know. Thank you, Jesus. Please be seated, young people. What a joy. I mean, I do a lot of conferences around the world and all that. And this is, West Virginia is one of the places that I've seen, you know, such a group of young people involved, you know, with older folk. Yeah. I realize I'm getting old. I mean, I don't have the energy that I used to have when I was 20. Praise God. So let's be witnesses to young people. Isn't this what Pope John Paul II signified? When he started his pontificate and he put forward this proposal for this World Youth Days. You know the resistance he had even in the Vatican from cardinals? What are you going to spend your time on these young people? There's no hope. They are a lost generation. He had the confidence. They started gathering. Next year, you're going to Spain, World Youth Day. Come on, plan and be there. It's awesome. Andrew, it's awesome. World Youth Days are awesome. And now Benedict the 16th is following. When John Paul II started traveling out, he's the most traveled pope, isn't it? Formerly, the popes will be in Rome and the faithful will come. He says, I got to take the gospel to them. He's been to my country, to Africa, and he goes, he kneels down, he kisses the ground. You know what? As he kisses the ground, the anointing is flowing in the soil. What? Talk about it. So let's be witnesses of hope. It took a woman of about maybe 40 years old when I was 20, when I was in that mess, right? She walked up. She was in my parish. She always had a smile. Her name was Joan. Hi, Mark. How are you doing? Hi, young people. Jesus loves you. We thought she was driving us up the walls. But she did it anyway. She didn't care offending us. Look at what she got. And I went to that prayer meeting, and it's all history now. So do not be afraid. Go to the young people, speak to them, love them into the kingdom. That's what my wife and I are trying to do out in the south side of Chicago, in the African American. My wife cooks very good, you know. And these kids like food. So we invite them over and we're bonding and we're reaching out so that the odor will spread, the aroma will touch them. Hallelujah. That's all I got to teach on. We got to pray now. Okay, let's spend the next 10 minutes or so in prayer. Okay, anything else you want? I gave it all. Yeah, gave it all. I don't think we need to, it will be an anti-climax. All you need to know is these two simple things. Keep it simple. The silent witness, and then when somebody should ask you the reason why you are oozing out this aroma, you tell them. Simple. I was blind. I met him, now I can see. Simple, okay? Now, yesterday you heard about that scripture from Ezekiel chapter 47, right? Where the stream was flowing from the threshold of the temple, right? And it was ankle deep, it was knee deep, it was waist deep, then it was at the chest, like a river that you could not swim in. We're going to get prayer teams spread all over the place in the back. Music ministry, can you just settle up? And walk up to any of these prayer teams and just receive a touch. It's not a time for counseling. You're not going there to tell them all the problems you got, okay? That's not a special ministry time. This is just a time to simply go and simply say, I think I'm ankle deep. I think I'm knee deep. I think I'm waist deep. I want to swim. And open up and let them pray over you a blessing of the anointing. And not only that, but that, you know, you'll be empowered simply to spread abroad, okay, the sweet odor of Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know it. I can see it in your face. God bless you. You know what it is all about, okay? So you know where you are at. If it's ankle deep, you know it. Be honest and simply say, I've just been wading in the water. Just wading in the water. It's ankle deep. I want to get knee deep. I want to get waist deep, and I want to start swimming. Father God, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that has gone forth. Lord Jesus, thank you for anointing us already. Friends, you have been anointed in the sacraments. So do not doubt that you are anointed. It's just that we got to break the alabaster jar. Just break it and set it free that it might go forth. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to do that even right now. And we should be going right now. We should be getting up and going to the groups as our friends minister to us. You're all I want. Thank you, Jesus. Just go receive, because we have Mass at 10 o'clock and we really don't want to go very far. Just receive the touch. Hallelujah.